Good morning, 6:19 a.m. on September the 24th, 2013. Yeah, I missed yesterday. ½ on the first drive. Yeah, I didn't have my usual Lady Gaga channel pumping out the dance beats this morning, so I was sort of poking along. 17.5 minutes on the first mile. If I get 17.5 minutes on the second mile, that's pretty good. Today is cold. It's 45 degrees. And it's a beautiful clear morning. I mean, oh, it's gorgeous. But it's dark, as the photograph probably indicates. There's just a sort of semi-glow coming up in the east in the photo. It's quite an interesting photo because of the way the CCD device in the camera, fragmented along the upper edge. It looks like the image is torn, or in fact, it's an artifact of the low light levels and the camera taking a picture. So yeah, yesterday was, in this case, pretty much literally a washout. It was pouring, not a light rain, but pouring yesterday. And it cleared up by 7, but Monday is an impossible day in terms of schedule, and as a rule, and yesterday was no exception. So when I couldn't get out right at 6, or within a minute or two of 6 o'clock, it was, we're not going to go today. And actually, I actually wrote the rain day post and then went to double check to make sure that it was still raining, and it was. But then when I got back to my desk, I forgot to hit publish. Thank you, Anita, for reminding me. So, parka, gloves, hood, I'm good this morning. Two shirts. I should just put my hood back because it was a little bit too warm and my ears are cold. I got my gloves on. I'm quite comfortable doing the morning walk. Oh, but I broke the string. I broke the string. I had quite a lovely string going without a miss. And that was the part that it was like, oh, shoot. I really don't want to start missing days again. It was easy to do. I missed a lot of days. Pardon me while I fumble the microphone on my collar, tugged the earbud. And I can't hear what I wouldn't be able to hear, and when Endomondo tells me what my second mile mark is, first quarter moon almost directly overhead, which means it must be almost first quarter moon. Now that's interesting. It just struck me. Why is it the first quarter moon? I suppose it's because it's a quarter of the way through the cycle. Because it's about a week after new and a week before full. So let's see, first quarter should be first week after the new moon, which would be right, as it builds toward full. But there are times, I won't say always, because sometimes I don't give it any thought at all, but why is it a quarter moon when half of it is illuminated? And the answer is it must be something other than how much of the moon shows as lit from here. So what I'm thinking about this morning is a new young writer who asked me to read his debut opus. And I got it, I grabbed a sample of it and read through. I got almost to the end of the sample and said, this just doesn't make any kind of logical sense. I'm spending way too much time outside the story wondering how any of this could possibly be. And not enough time in the story to be engaged in the story itself. So when you talk about being out of the story, I'm out of the story almost from the first page. And I felt really bad because he asked me for my opinion in private, and I gave it to him in private. And it was predicated on a medical condition that the rationale in the book didn't make sense. It turns out the rationale is spoiler alert, because apparently this is a spoiler. The medical condition isn't real, and there's something else going on. And as part of the main character's role, apparently, to solve it, to fix it, to come to the bottom of it. The problem is I can't get into the story far enough, even though it's a short one. It's a novella. It can't be more than... can't be more than 20,000 words, maybe 25. But I can't get into the story far enough to get beyond the sample. And that's the problem. Now, it could very well be that it's, you know, I'm the wrong demographic. 60-year-old grumpy science fiction writers are not that big a demographic to begin with. So it could very well be that I'm just not the right guy to read the book. And I'm good with that, and I suggest that that's probably at least part of the problem. The writing itself, Monk Pool, the manipulation of language is largely pretty good, I have to say. I'll give the guy the props. But but the story itself, I had so much trouble, and I still have so much trouble, even knowing that this one bit that has me bugged isn't right. Because there are other bits that aren't right. There are other bits that you know, there's this grand conspiracy. There's this a cataclysm on Earth that an alien culture saw in their night sky and came to investigate. And that was another one of the little hiccups, because A, if the Earth wasn't completely destroyed in the explosion, then really what we're talking about is an incredibly tiny spark in a bonfire of the night sky. It's the lack of understanding or the lack of appreciation of the physics involved in an alien culture seeing Earth immolated in a nuclear fire. The probability of that being able to happen. Good morning. The reality of what that would require in terms of the amount of time it would take the information wave, the light wave, to travel out into the stars and impinge on an alien race so that they could respond via faster than light travel. Of course, that's a given. They're an advanced race. That's fine. I'm okay with that. We're still talking at least 4 years to get to Alpha Centauri. And it's like, okay, and how did the aliens wind up on our doorstep the next day? You know, faster than light is okay. But light doesn't move faster than light. Radiation doesn't move faster than light. How does that work? How does that even fly? Now, there is a possibility. And if he hung a lantern on it in the prologue, I could go with it. Is that we were already under observation, that there was already an alien vessel just beyond the orbit of Pluto, keeping an eye on us. And that was how they spotted us. I would go along with that. But the idea that, and he makes a point of it in the story, that the aliens scanning their night sky saw the explosion and came to see what was going on, came to investigate. Yeah, no, that's generally enough for me to say, no, it can't be. It's one thing to write science fiction, it's one thing to write science fantasy, and trying to confuse the two, that's a problem. That's a bit of a problem. It's actually a lot of a problem. But then there's the humans. The nuclear cataclysm resulted in widespread blindness. We'll go with that. I'll spill the beans. Actually, I'll tell you the name of the book. It's 3 Days on Earth. It's by a young fellow in the UK named Wilf, W-I-L-F, Nelson? Now I can't, you know, it's like I see his icon and I've blanked out his name. I know his name is Wilf. I think it's Wilf Nilsson. Nelson. And the book is 3 Days on Earth. And it's just out, and in the U.S. it's like $1.60 because it's translated down from $1.99 English pounds, no doubt. So if you feel like it, go give it a grab. Check out the sample. And I could very well be just being a 60-year-old grumpy science fiction writer. But I have a really hard time with this idea that the population of Earth is blinded by the population of the Moon, because everybody on the Earth, of course, is a crispy critter. and that the people who were watching from the moon were blinded by the radiation 250,000 miles away. And no other chromosomal damage happened, no other kinds of, as you probably expect, fallout from this cataclysm. It's just people who were looking at it had their eyeballs burned out. Now, the doctors, apparently, were one class of people who were not affected by this. Which is another one of those, huh? Really? And I asked him at Wolf about it, and he said, well, you know, the doctors are really busy people, and they tend to be working in areas that are shielded by metal. Other people on the moon aren't. And I have a hard time with this being on the moon, because in the first chapter, after his prologue, people are spending time on what looks a lot like Earth. There's no nod to the fact that they're living on the moon, or they must be living on the moon, because the Earth was destroyed by hard radiation less than a generation before. So it's like, really? But the doctors decided that as a compassionate effort, they would not tell the blind people that about 1% of the population was still sighted. That 1% of the population, which included pretty much all the doctors, was still sighted, because they didn't want them to feel bad. That setup does not fly with me. That premise is enough to make me go, really? Seriously? Now, is some grand conspiracy theory with involving just doctors? I have a hard time. I have a really hard time wrapping my head around this book. And in spite of the fact that it's written actually pretty well, all things considered, it's written very well. The story is it's like a wet paper towel trying to hold up a bowling ball. It just doesn't work. At least not for me. It doesn't work for me. It's like, really? Why the doctors? And 18 minutes on the back half. I'm not moving very quickly this morning. I am moving, but not quickly. Anyway, so they blind the kids. Well, they put the chip in their heads that makes them blind. They apparently either remove the chip, it's not clear, but they remove the chip so that they are sighted then, or that they replace the children's temporary blindness chip with a new one, an adult permanently blinded chip. Why they would do this, I do not understand. I don't get it. I don't buy it. There's not enough setup for it for me to get into the story. And so I feel really bad bashing this story, because perhaps it's just that it's not the story that's meant for me. So in partial penance for giving Wolf some really bad news, I will mention it to you guys. I'm pretty sure it's Wolf Nelson. The book is 3 Days on Earth. And if I've probably convinced everybody not to read it, but if you're so inclined, it's out on Amazon. Maybe give it a go. See if I'm really as much of a curmudgeon and off base as I feel like right at the moment. So, with that, I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.